It's time to talk about lard. Lard, just the word sends shivers down the spines of health-conscious dieters everywhere. But as it turns out, with so many things, Grandma was right. Lard isn't so bad. Well, maybe lard isn't so bad. Lard is not hydrogenated. It uses all of the pig, and it's entirely natural. Well, according to our next guests, it makes for delicious cooking and baking. Well, on the other hand, let's not forget that lard is animal fat, and too much animal fat is not good for your heart. So we'll get those two things together. Regina Schrambling is a food writer whose article is all about lard's big moment. It's appeared this week in Slate. Also joining us is Chef Zarella Martinez, who is a self-proclaimed lard crusader. She's been preaching the gospel of lard for over 15 years and is glad that people are finally listening. Zarella Martinez, why did lard get such a bad reputation to begin with?
Because it became saturated.
Saturated.
Yeah, because if lard originally was home rendered and soft, you know, when you turn something hard, you saturate the modules, the molecules. I'm sorry, and that's when it became really bad.
Because that's worse for your health, in other words.
Yeah. So, yeah. But home rendered lard is 2/3 unsaturated.
So it's better for you.
Plus, it has oleic acid, which is exactly the same thing olive oil has that helps you break down cholesterol. So it's only when it became commercially produced that it became, you know, a bad, you know, thing for you.
Regina, what are you detecting from the lard-consuming community? You've been writing about it. It's making a comeback. Why the resurgence all of a sudden?
Well, I think there's several factors, and one is that now we have a new thing to worry about under the bed, and that's trans fats.
Trans fats.
Yeah, so...
Now, let's make sure people are clear. Trans fats are partially hydrogenated oils and found in a lot of artificial products that were supposed to be better for us, like margarine.
Well, and the worst one is Crisco shortening.
Crisco, yeah.
Yes, that was sold to Americans as the ideal fat for baking and cooking, and it turns out it's trans fatty.
Regina, you talk in your article about how lard has a really bad reputation of people in our generation. We sort of grew up hearing that it was something that would kill you, something that was a derogatory term, lard bucket and other lard words that we probably can't say on the radio. Why is that wrong?
Why is that image wrong?
Well, why is the image wrong, yeah.
It's not bad for you, number one. It's natural. I mean, that's the thing, is we've been sold this synthetic all these years, and we swallowed that's good for you. It's not good for you. I mean, ideally.
Okay, but lard is animal fat, and the data is pretty clear that too much animal fat's not good for you,
well,
right?
Well, too much olive oil is not good for you.
Right.
Let's be serious.
Right. Okay, so lard in moderation. You're not advocating putting it in everything, just for...
No,
for,
it doesn't belong in certain things.
Right. Okay, I want to ask you, actually, Zarella, I want to ask you about, you mentioned the molecules, the saturated molecules. What is it about the chemistry of lard that makes it so great for baking? What is it about the molecules, if you will, or what does it do in the pan that makes it so great?
It has bigger crystals, you know, than let's say, oil. So if you're using it in baking, for instance, and you're layering it, you know, or let's say in tamales, which I brought here, when you beat and beat and beat and beat it, it becomes this fluffy, wonderful mass. And then when you steam them or bake them, all of that lard seeps out, and then you're left with this fluffy, wonderful thing.
Well, Andrea's salivating.
I'm salivating. I'm staring at the tamales. I'm thinking,
Zarella,
fluffy,
you mentioned
and
tamales,
wonderful.
Yes.
You talk, I'll eat.
Andrea's sitting next to a container.
I'll give you the verdict on how fluffy and wonderful they are.
Sitting next to a container of tamales, and she's digging in. And while she does it, Zarella, I want to ask you about home rendering lard. How is that done? Is it something that people can do in their own kitchens easily?
Yes. Well, first of all, they can go to my YouTube thing called Praise the Lard. It's Cooking with Zarella. And it's all you have to do is just get unsalted pork fat of good quality from your butcher or anywhere, I mean, actually. And then you just cut it in little pieces, freeze it a little while, and put it very slowly on the stove for about an hour. But it's really, really simple. You can keep
it. You just skim it?
No, you don't have to skim it.
You just use it.
You just take it out and then leave the little delicious pork cracklings in there.
It is. I am eating these tamales, and they are delicious. Okay. And I'm a tamale maven. Did you know that?
I didn't.
That will be my summer plan, chasing tamales. Okay,
well, you're starting off at the pinnacle there.
This is made with oil, so just taste the difference.
Regina, What about professional chefs like Zarella restaurants that you go to? I'm sure you go to a lot of them in your writings and in your coverage. Have they known about lard all along? Or is this anything new to the gourmet chefs out there?
I don't think it is new to them. No, anybody who knows how to bake knows that lard's probably, if you're going to make a pie crust, the best thing is lard. So they would know that. But it's gotten very expensive to do. I mean, really high-quality lard is very expensive now.
It is. It can be bought. It doesn't have to be home-rendered.
No, you can buy it like at a farmer's market. Flying Pigs makes amazing lard that they sell at the green market.
Flying Pigs?
Flying Pigs Farm, yes. It's excellent.
How much do you pay for it?
It's $6 for 8 ounces.
Oh, boy.
Todd, these oil ones are, I'm making a face.
Andrew's beside herself.
I am beside myself. The lard ones, there is just no comparison between the lard tamales and the oil tamales.
Oh, you've got a head-to-head. It's too bad we don't have time to do a blind taste test, Andrea. I'd love to. Zarella, what do you have to say?
It doesn't have to be expensive, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go and buy it at Flying Pigs, it is going to be expensive. But if you buy pork chops and you save the fat, Or you just get it. It is extremely inexpensive to make your own lard.
It's inexpensive to do. Well, you mentioned olive oil, Regina. A lot of people, I cook with olive oil a lot. It's not the best thing to cook with. It does smoke easily. I'm aware of that. But I think it's better for me. I feel better about what I'm eating because olive oil is supposed to be so much better for you than the other kinds of fat I could use, like butter or like Crisco. Do I need to consider lard going head-to-head against olive oil now? For my basic home cooking.
Not for your basic home cooking. For frying, of course. If you're going to make fried chicken, there's nothing better.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to make a mole.
Mole.
Yeah.
We have some mole on the table.
We have mole on the table and the tamales.
You've brought in about 8 containers of food, and Andrea's eyes are so wide she can't keep her eyes off what you guys
are
doing.
But, you know, you shouldn't eat and talk. It's not advisable.
All right. Well, we're learning a lot about lard this morning. You might have come into this conversation, as I did, thinking that lard is animal fat and animal fat is bad and lard is a dirty word. Well, maybe not so dirty. Consider cooking with lard. Consider home renting your own lard. It's easy and it's inexpensive, according to our chefs and our experts. Zarella Martinez, lard evangelist and owner of Zarella Restaurant, thanks for joining us. Regina Schrambling, food writer, has an article about lard on slate.com right now. Go and read it. It's fascinating. Thanks for joining us, both of you.
And I think we have some recipes on thetakeaway.org.
Yeah.
We'll certainly have pictures of us eating.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.